Would you please stand and worship with us today?
Is everybody listening? Please stand as we get ready for an awesome worship. Thank you.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.
Be thou my wisdom and thou my true.
Lord, I just pray that our voices, that these songs that we sing, that will just give you praise and that you will be glorified by them. I pray that the message that is spoken today will bring you honor and that it will soak into our hearts and minds and that it will make an impact on all of us, that when we go out and live in the world, that we are truly reflecting you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then I guess read your bulletin. Alrighty, would you please stand and worship with us again?
Crown him with men. Make my
Shall ever praise thy name. We pray, Lord, that this worship is satisfying to you. You are so deserving of this and so much more. So, Father God, we just want to take this time to lift up your name. We want to take the time to say that we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us, for all that you provide for us. It is so great. It is so miraculous. It is so wonderful. You are so kind. You are so gentle. And Lord, we thank you for your love that you have given to us and expressed to us, demonstrated to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we as your people come and we do cry out, holy. You are set apart far above all. There is no other God beside you. You are the Holy One. And so we lift up to you our song and our praise and our worship. And Father, as I go to speak your word today, Lord, I pray that you will help me to discern it rightly and accurately. And Lord, that as I preach, if I'm going to say something that's not true, that is not from you, Lord, that you would silence my lips, that you would rise up the one to speak for you this day. It's not for my glory, but for yours, that you would speak through your word to your people today. And Lord, as we come to the time of worship and giving back of what you have first given unto us, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this offering. We ask, Lord, that this offering would be multiplied by you, Lord, that we can continue the work that you have called us to do. And that is to tell others of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as this week as we come into VBS, Lord, we're going to have probably over 100 children here. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that we will be able to speak to them the truth of you and your love. And it will impact their lives. It will plant a seed that will grow in them and come to maturity of salvation where they will give their life to you. Why do we do VBS? To glorify you. We ask your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What we do, right? Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. It is so good to see so many fathers in church. It blesses my heart to look out and see all of you and how you lead your families and to come into church, into house of worship. Listen, it is a proven statistic. The father that leads his family in church, the family will stay in church. The statistics are much higher. If the father doesn't come to church, that usually the children will not continue to come to church. So I want to thank you, dads. You are so deserving to be praised of your godly character. So thank you. Also, I'm supposed to announce at the end of this that we have a gift for you. when you leave, Dad. So when you go out the back, there's a gift for you. So don't forget to pick that up. All right? And we appreciate you being here. Just a couple little things before we get started. As you notice, a lot of the praise band's not here. They're all out relaxing on vacation somewhere, probably on a beach. I don't know. They're all traveling, so you need to pray for them. But listen, there's somebody special watching today, and it's Travis and his dad from his hospital room. His dad moved his foot. Yes. So I just went on three. I want everybody to say, hi, Jeff. One, two, three. Hi, Jeff. All right. So I'm sure that will lift his spirit. And Jeff, we are praying for you, okay? And right now we have come. I'm going to ask Brianna to come. And we have Brianna has come, and she wants to join Open Door Baptist Church. And I told her to come up and just turn around right there, Brianna, and look and make sure you want to do this. We good?
Yeah.
All right, Brianna. All right. I have met with Brianna actually a few times now, and she has jumped through all the things I've asked her to about membership. So, Brianna, I have some questions for you. Brianna, have you read and agree with our church constitution and bylaws?
Yes.
Do you agree to attend church regularly? Do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support?
Yes.
Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time?
Yes.
Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church?
Yes.
Jump. We went over that, all right? So, do you agree to submit, do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word? Do you agree to love the church and to promote unity and fellowship among the members? Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message? Amen. Congregation, I'm particularly talking to the members of Open Door Baptist Church. Members of Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to recognize Brianna Hawkins as a member of Open Door Baptist Church? Members of Open Door, if you agree to this, please stand. Open Door Baptist Church members, do you agree to love Brianna as a member of this church and make her feel welcome and accepted as an accepted member of this church? If you agree, say, I will. Do you agree to hold Brianna accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Do you, Open Door Baptist Church members, do you agree to be accountable to Brianna as a member of this church family? If you agree, say, I will. Amen. If we will signify that we all accept this by clapping and welcoming our hands. Man.
Awesome.
All right, welcome. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Now, just you can be seated. Now, let me tell you, I've been preaching about invite cards, remember? Constantly pushing the invite cards. Do you know how Brianna came here? Kathy invited her. See what happens when the gospel goes out? People will come to know the Lord because we watched her come to salvation just about a month or so ago, 2 months ago, right? A couple months ago, yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah. Well, thank you, Brianna. Welcome as a member. Amen. And so, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Joshua. You can probably get into around Joshua chapter 5. We're in a series in the book of Joshua. I didn't choose this text deliberately today. It's what's next in line, so men, don't be throwing things at me here in a minute, all right? You'll understand in a second. Last week I showed you, I've titled this Men of Obedience. Last week I showed you where the Hebrews were. They had just crossed over the Jordan River, and God rolled back the waters, and the entire nation of Israel walked over into the promised land onto dry land. They were finally there. They're over there on the other side now. But then, now what? Well, I showed you that they were in between. They were in between crossing over the Jordan and conquering the land, and Jericho was coming. Jericho is on the horizon, the taking of Jericho. But God, at this point, has slowed them up. And when God does this, we often find ourselves in an in-between place, meaning God's going to prepare you for something. God's going to do something with you in your life. So they find themselves in an in-between place, and God tells them to slow up because I'm working to prepare you for the next big thing. You know, God does big things with people who are obedient to him. Just put that out there. And then God goes on in chapter 5, if you remember verse 1, God reminds Joshua of all that he had done for them, and that all of the kings of the Canaanites had also heard about what God had done. In other words, the Israelites are coming into the promised land, and the people there had heard everything about what the Israelites God had done. And because of all that God had done in delivering the Israelites, the hearts of the Canaanites melted. Remember that last week? The hearts of the Canaanites melted. If you remember, I explained that their hearts just vanished. Their courage vanished. Their confidence vanished. And according to the end of verse 1 of chapter 5, it says this: there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Meaning the Canaanites had lost all hope of conquering the Israelites. Because first they had heard about what God had done, and then they saw it, right? They see what he had done there when he parted the Jordan River and they all came across. They saw it with their own eyes when God opened up the Jordan River. So God gave these Hebrews an in-between moment, a time of reflection, a time to just stop and think about what God had done and to prepare them. And listen, God will put you in a place so he can build some confidence in your life. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, God will put you in a place so he can build some confidence in your life. And let me tell you another thing I want to add in there. Sometimes God will put you in a place to show you your faith. God knows your faith. He knows what you have. Sometimes he puts you in a place so you will see your faith. Because there are times when life knocks us down. Amen? And God has to say, wait a minute, stop. Now I want you to think back. I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to think back. You think about all that I have done for you. You can trust me because you can look back and you can trust me. So don't have any fear. Now, while these Hebrews were out in the desert for 40 years, there were two things that they had stopped doing. Something that God had told them to do that they had stopped doing, okay? Do you remember what they were? Does anybody know what they are? I know one person that wants to say it really bad. There's two things that they stopped doing while they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They stopped doing circumcision and Passover. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. This is probably one of the most difficult chapters in all of God's Word, at least for me, in all of God's Word, Joshua chapter 5. But we're going to go there. And I told you, men, I didn't plan this. This is the way it went. But we're going to go there because all of God's Word is important, valuable, and beneficial. Amen? All right. And listen, it's Father's Day, so why not, right? What a better topic. So God now is going to reinstitute these two commands, these two acts of obedience. So the first one is this. It's submission. He's going to reinstitute submission. Now this is circumcision. And let me just add here, like I said, this is unusual, but it is also a big deal. A huge act of obedience. And I can't help but wonder, In the current age that we live in, if this was a commandment to adult men, who all would be obedient to it? And listen, they were going to battle. They're getting right. They're in this in between. They crossed over. They're looking at Jericho now. This is this big battle that lies ahead. So God tells them to do this thing, right? And they're getting ready to go into battle against Jericho. So this act of obedience surely would have laid them up for a few days, I'm sure. So this was a huge act of obedience, and it was specifically for the men. So let me read the text to you. Start with verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, 400 years in Egypt, right? All the men who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness. That means all the men that came up out of Egypt that was there, when they came up, they had all died at this point, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness, while they're wandering around for the 40 years, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach. What is the reproach? We preached on that. The shame, right? We're going to roll back your shame, all that shame that you had in back here in Egypt, being slaves. He says, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, this circumcision that's taking place here is very unusual. But I want to show you something. So put your finger there in Joshua 5, and let me take you back all the way back to Genesis chapter 17. I want to show you some interesting, well, it's interesting to a preacher. I hope it's interesting to you too. Let me show you something. Because God comes to Abraham, at this point he was Abram, and he is 99 years old. But the Lord appears to him, and look what he says in verse 1 there. In Genesis, I think chapter 17, is that what it said? In verse 1. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you. God's going to make a covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. Now, if we look at that, this old man is 99 years old that God's talking to. He's 99 years old. He's got one kid, and it's not by his wife, Sarah. It's by her handmaiden, Hagar. And listen to what God says to him. Look there in verse 7. Look what God says to him. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. You and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old, you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. Then look what he says down in verse 14. He goes on to say, and any male child who is not circumcised shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, God comes to Abraham, and he says, hey, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And by the way, I want to tell you what, this covenant has never been broken. God still honors this covenant with Abraham, even though they've not honored it. God still honored this covenant with Abraham, and the nation of Israel one day will be saved. They will be evangelized. They will come into salvation. God said, let me tell you something, Abraham. He says, I'm making a covenant with you, and there's only one way you can be in covenant with me, and only one way, one single way, he says, there's only one way you can be in covenant with me. It's not 56 ways. It's not 36 ways. It's not 88 ways. There's one way to be in covenant with me. You enter into covenant with me by circumcision. Now, you see something here. You see, God had promised Abraham a son. But Abraham got tired of waiting on God, right? We remember that, right? Right? And what happened? And you all know what happened. He went and he took Hagar, his wife's handmaid, by his wife's blessing, right? Took Hagar, his handmaid, and he had a son by her. And God comes and he says, I want you to take the organ in which you have sinned against me with. Isn't that a big sin problem today? I want you to take the organ with which you have sinned against me with, and you are going to cut the foreskin from it. He said, you have sinned against me, and you try to do God's will man's way. This is very important. He said, you're trying to do God's will man's way, and you can't do it that way. God says, I've got a way for my will to be done, and I will miraculously bring this thing about. But he said, you are going to enter into covenant with me by circumcision. This is how it's going to work, God says. And every male in your family will be circumcised. And if they don't cut the foreskin off, they will be cut off from the house of Israel. They're going to be cut off from God's people. Now understand this. This was the Old Testament covenant. And the sign of that covenant was circumcision. It was bloody. It was painful. And you come to the New Testament, and we have a new covenant, right? We have a new covenant. And understand, it was bloody and it was painful for Jesus Christ to be crucified. You see it? They cut his flesh. They tore his flesh, right? It was bloody. It was painful for Jesus. And in that new covenant now, we have a new mark of that covenant. Thank God, right? We have a new mark of that covenant. It's no longer circumcision. So what is the mark of the new covenant of God's people? Now, Baptists, I want you to listen to me for a minute. You all need to learn when I teach you some of this stuff. What is the mark of the covenant of God's New Testament people? Baptism. That's right. You don't think that's important? Some people think that's not important. That, well, salvation isn't based up on baptism. That is true. But let me tell you something. It's vitally important. It's the sign of the covenant. Right? You don't think it's important? Baptism is the mark of the new covenant people. Just as circumcision was the sign of the mark of the old covenant, baptism is the mark of the new covenant for God's people. Now, Moses understood this. Moses understood this. It wasn't just something physical. It wasn't just something in the flesh. Let me take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look what Moses says this, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. And that live there is eternally, right? You see, that was the real issue. It's not that there is something that has been cut into my flesh. That's not the issue. There's not something that's been cut into my flesh. It's that the flesh of my heart has been cut away. Now, this is tough. But what is the flesh of your heart? We say that like we run across that, but what does that mean? What is the flesh of your heart? It's your will. It's your way. It's my way. That's what the flesh of the heart is, and God has to cut that out. So the circumcision of my heart is that my will, my way has been cut away from my heart, that it is now your way, your will and your way, oh God. I'm inviting that into me, into my heart. I want you to cut out all of this stuff, that this garbage that I put in there, and I want you to circumcise my heart that now I'm chasing after you. I'm chasing after your will, and I'm chasing after your way. Now, I'm going to show you one of the most bizarre passages of Scripture in all of the Word of God. So go with me on back to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, you've got Moses there, and he is walking away from the burning bush. Remember when God called him to burning? He's walking away from the burning bush. God has called him, and he says, I want you to go down there. I want you to go down there, and I want you to speak to Pharaoh. I want you to go down there into Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, you let my people go. You go tell him, let my people go. And we won't go through the whole thing, but because I've already preached on that. But Moses does that, right? He does exactly what God asked him to do. And when you come to Exodus chapter 4, look at verse 18. Exodus chapter 4, look at verse 18. Moses departed. He's leaving now. He's leaving the burning bush. And he returned to Jethro, right? He returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. And he said, and Moses said to him, to Jethro, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. So what does Moses do? Well, look at verse 19. Now the Lord said to Moses and Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought you are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So here's what you got. Here's Moses. He's got his wife. He's got their donkeys. He's got their boys. Gershom was the oldest son now of Moses. So they are on their way, right, as God asked them to do. So they're now on their way, and they are now going to come, and they're going to set up camp for the night. Verse 24, and it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met with him and sought to kill him, Moses. Now, get this in your mind. Try to wrap your head around this. Moses is being obedient to God. What God asked him to do, Moses is being obedient to God and says, okay, God, I'll go down there to Pharaoh and I'll tell him to let your people go. I'll tell your people and I'll tell your people, get ready. God's going to deliver you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. And so Moses now gets his wife. He gets his boys all together, right? And his sons are with him, and there they go. And they decided to stop the camp for the night. And on the way, God is there, and he meets with Moses, and he's going to kill Moses. And we're sitting here thinking, what the what? What the what? What in the world is going on in this passage of Scripture? What's happening? Moses is doing exactly, he's being obedient to exactly what God called him to do, and then God shows up and he's going to kill him. I want you to watch this, folks. I want you to watch because I've taught you. You see Jesus everywhere in the Word of God, amen? You can find him. Now watch this. What's going on? Moses hadn't circumcised his sons. And what did God tell Abraham? He said, if you don't circumcise every descendant, he said, they will be cut out of my people. They will be cut out of the covenant. It was a symbol of submission. I submit myself to the authority, to the covenant of God's way, to God's covenant, his will in my life. And Moses had not circumcised his boys according to God's will and way. So now God is there. and he's going to take Moses' life. Why? Listen up, men. Why? Because it was Moses' responsibility to make sure this circumcision was done. Men, we are to lead our families in worship. So it is a picture of a man. What you really are seeing here is a picture of a man in sin. And when he sees that, God's judgment on sinful man, right? It's a picture of man in sin and God's judgment on sinful man. And apart from salvation, you will face a holy God who will kill you. Say, Pastor, that's hard. Yeah, it's truth. Apart from salvation, you will face a holy God who will kill you. But what does his wife do? Behind every successful man's a good woman, amen. But what does his wife do? Well, read the text. Look at this, verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, "Surely you are a husband of blood to me." Verse 26, so he let him go, meaning he let Moses go, that God let Moses alone. Then she said, "You are a husband of blood." Look at the exclamation point. You are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. So do you see what's happening here? Can you see it, the parallel here? Can you see Christ in this? Here's a sinful man, and here's a holy God. And God says, "I've told you how to come to me. I've explained to you how to come to me, and you've not done it. And now you're going to face my judgment." And here is Zipporah. She cuts the foreskin off of her son off, and she takes that bloody piece of skin and throws it onto Moses' feet. And now the blood of a sacrifice has touched his life. Oh, you can't see the cross. It's not the whale. And she takes that bloody piece and she throws it onto Moses' feet. And now the blood of a sacrifice has touched his life. And Almighty God, what does he do? He backs away. He calls off his judgment. You see it? And now, right? Listen, that's just deep stuff. I don't care. Do you understand something? It's the same for you and I here today. When we come to the cross, where Jesus shed his blood for you and I, and we receive the forgiveness of our sins, the things that separate us from God, right? A sin separates you, not all of them, just a sin separates you from God. But we can see it, right? We receive forgiveness of our sins, and through that shed blood, God will back away from killing you for eternity. The wages of sin is, and that word death means eternal separation from God. When God says, "You will come to me through the cross of Jesus Christ," that ain't nothing to play with. I'm just being honest with you. It's nothing to play with. You might want to think real hard about that. And I want you to notice here. I want you to notice it was the will of Moses, right? It was the will of Moses that met up with the will of God. It was the will of Moses that met up with the will of God. And who do you think is going to win that battle? When you think God will let me into heaven because I'm a real good person, I'm a good guy, I'm a good girl, I'm a good person, and God says, "No one is good, no, not one." It is through the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood alone. It is through the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood alone that you're saved, or it's eternal hell for those who reject it. Let me ask, who's going to win this battle if you say, "I'm a good guy," and Jesus says, "No, you're not. There's only one way, it's the cross"? Who's going to win? Jesus. He's going to say, but my will is this. So God brings them in this in-between place, and he says, you circumcise all these men because circumcision was the will and the way of God. So God is going to execute some things in the lives of his people. And they're in the plains. There they are in the plains of Jericho. And God says, this is my will. This is my covenant. It will be followed. And all of the men comply and submit. Men. Watch. All the men comply and submit. All of them. Now, we guessed anywhere between 1 million and 3.5 million people. I can't tell you exactly how many men, but there was a lot of men. But they all submitted to this. Can you even begin to imagine what God would do in this nation if all of the men complied and submitted to the will of God? Could you even begin to imagine? They were looking at something ahead of them that they thought they'd never going to be able to conquer. Could you only imagine in this nation if all the men submitted to the will of God of what this nation could do for Christ? You know, every now and then you get a player that can't be coached. If you watch professional sports, you'll see this from time to time, players that can't be coached. A couple that stick out of the top of my head is Colin Kaepernick and Antonio Brown, to name a couple, but there's a lot of others, right? Tremendous, unbelievable, great, just great athletes, unbelievable talents in these men. But they were constantly running into conflicts with their coaches. They were traded from here to there to there to there, right? And ultimately, unofficially, they became blacklisted. Tremendous talent, but nobody wanted them. They were like untouchable. Nobody wanted them on their team. Great talents, but can't be coached. Great talents, but can't be coached. Which makes them useless to any team. Listen to me, men and women. There has to be a point in your life when you are submissive to God's coaching, that you are submissive to God's authority and God's will in your life. And let me give you this, the other thing. The other thing is this, cohesion. Number two, cohesion. Look at the second part of this. You get into this back in Joshua chapter 5. You come not only to the submission, that's the circumcision, but now you come to this Passover. And in the Passover, let me tell you what you see there in the Passover. You see this cohesion in God's people. You see this cohesion, this oneness, this together. So Joshua chapter 5, pick it back up with verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. You see that? And they kept the Passover. They brought it back and they kept the Passover. And you say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Do you realize something? Do you realize that they had not done that since they were back in Egypt? They hadn't practiced this since they were back in Egypt. So they had gone 40 years at least. They had gone 40 years. There was no submission. There was no submission, no circumcision, and no cohesiveness. There was no Passover. So this whole thing being one together was lacking in God's people. And let me tell you something. It's a big problem today. It's a big problem today. The people of God being one together, being cohesive together. And so God brings them to this place and he puts them all around their tables. And do you know what the Jews would do? you would take a lamb and you had to sacrifice that lamb and they had to have unleavened bread and all of the things that you had to have for Passover. But some people didn't have a lamb. So do you know what the Hebrews would do with those who didn't have the thing to sacrifice, the things that they needed for Passover? They would bring in anybody. If I had it and you didn't, I would bring you in. They would bring in anybody who did not have the ability to bring these things, and they would sit at a table with them. If you didn't have the requirement for the Passover, then I invited you because I did. I would invite you to come and practice Passover with me. So now you've got in the plains of Jericho, remember where they're at. Now you've got in the plains of Jericho the whole nation together. And do you know what they were saying? God had removed their shame from them from Egypt, right? And do you know what they were saying? They were saying this, regardless of whether you had an education or not, whether you had money or not, or if you had a lamb to slay or not, it did not matter. It didn't matter. It didn't make any difference because all of us were slaves at one time. Let that sink in for a second. You say, yeah, well, they were. They were all slaves at one time. Do you know anybody today, any slaves today? What was I a slave to? Sin. All of us here opened door. All of us here opened door. All of us here were slaves to sin at one time. Every single one of us. No exceptions. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of education you've got. I don't care what kind of salary you make. All of us started out the Christian life the same way. We came and we confessed, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. And all of us, no matter who you are or what side of the tracks you grew up on, the truth is we've all been slaves to sin. And at that moment of Passover was the great equalizer that the blood had to be applied to every one of us. Every one of us, the blood had to be applied. You know, we do the Lord's Supper and it was... We do the Lord's Supper, and it was at Passover that Jesus took the bread from the Passover, and he instituted something new. Remember? This is new. I'm going to institute something new. So he took the wine of the cup of Passover, and he instituted something new, a new covenant, right? And he says, often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now listen to me. When we do the Lord's table here at this church, I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel. I can't tell you how you feel. I can't read into that. But let me tell you, I don't know how about you. But in that service, there's a bonding to me like there's not at any other time in a service. I believe that God uses communion to take us all back to level playing ground at the foot of the cross. That we all had a slavery problem to sin. No matter who you are, great or small, that nobody is better than anybody else. I'm not better than you, and you are no better than me. We all come to Jesus Christ the exact same way, and he uses that to bond us as a bonding agent. He uses that to bond us, to create cohesion among us so that there would be a oneness among us. My favorite color is white. What's yours? That's not what I'm talking about. That's exactly not what I'm talking about. We're coming together in a oneness to the cross of Jesus Christ, that it is the only way that we will ever have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that is our oneness. There will be a oneness among us. And in our text, right? And in our text, the Passover brought a cohesion of a oneness. And God says, I want you to stop long enough. I want you to just take a break. I want you to push the pause button. I just want you to pump the brakes, right? I want you to stop long enough so that in these in-between moments, there can be submission to me and some cohesion for the brothers and sisters who believe and trust in me. Sometimes we just need to remember who we were and now who we are. together in Christ. And this morning, I want us to share in this oneness together. I want us to remember who we are in Christ. We are one. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we are one. We are under the covenant of God. That is so powerful, folks. That is so powerful. So I want to take communion this morning. In front of you, you can find a cup. You need to peel that little flap back. Be very careful. Peel that little flap back. There's a little film on top. If you take the whole thing off, you're going to get juice all over you. Shake it a little bit. All right? But listen, I want to take communion together as a body of Christ. That is, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, I ask you to come and to take this. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I'd ask you to refrain from it. What's a strong point that you've been saved? Well, you follow through with Christian baptism. That'd be a strong point to say. So you take that out and you'll find this little wafer. And I want to read to you scripture. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This little wafer that you hold in your hand symbolizes the body of Christ. And we need to know that his body was cut for us. His body was bruised for us. His body was broken for us. Father God, I ask your blessing upon this bread which symbolizes the body of Christ. Lord, that he so freely gave to take the penalty of sin for us, that what we deserve, he personally took. And we want to come to you as a body, as one, to say thank you for what you have done for me. In Jesus' name, take, eat in remembrance of him. I'll peel back the cup a little bit there. Scripture says this, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Anytime there was a forgiveness of sins, there was blood involved. Every time. All the way back to Adam and Eve. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. His blood was shed for you and for me alike. Don't care where you came from or where you've been. I don't care how good you were or how bad you were. This blood makes us equal as one in Jesus Christ, as his body, as his people. Father God, we thank you for shedding the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that in him that we have the forgiveness of our sins. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for this precious blood that has saved me and cleansed me from eternal punishment, but that I can have a relationship with you, and I'm looking forward to the day that I will spend eternity with you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Drink till he comes. Amen. Now listen, you are here for some reason this morning. I don't know why, but you're here. Maybe you're here because somebody invited you. Praise God. Maybe you're here because you're your dad. Praise God. But you're here for a reason. You're not here by accident. Maybe God is drawing you to himself and you say, you know what? I have never trusted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And let me ask you a question. Why not today? There's no other way. Why not right now? Why not this moment? That right where you are sitting, you can say right now, Lord Jesus, I want to confess my sins. I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God who came and gave your life on a cross for me, and that you died for me, and that you was raised to give me life. Amen. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. And I now want to give my life to you by faith. In Jesus' name. And if you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to invite you to come as the music begins, you come. And I want you to just tell me, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior. I just need to know. Just tell me that. Just say, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior. Or maybe today God's speaking to your heart about baptism or church membership. If that's you this morning, then you come. Just come up and say to me, you know what, I'm interested in church membership or I'm interested in baptism, and I'll set up a time to talk with you, all right? Or maybe you just need to come to this altar this morning and say this, help me, Lord. Okay? Help me, Lord, to be obedient to whatever it is you are asking of me, even if it sounds painful. Even if it sounds painful or unusual, help me, Lord, to be obedient. Help me to be submissive to your will in my life. If you need to come to the altar, I invite you to come right now. As the praise band begins, Christ is waiting. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And Lord, I thank you for the fathers here this morning that are obedient to lead their families. I thank you for such as men as these. Lord, I ask a blessing upon their families. I bless that you will continue to speak into all of them, that their dependence will be upon you, their obedience will be on the forefront of your mind. So Lord, I just ask you to work in a very powerful way this morning, Lord, as only you can do, that you would call and draw unto yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You need to come. The altar is open. You come. Till our minds are free.
shall we know the power of Christ who came this world to save. So shall we rise with him to life which soars beyond the grave.
Spoken to your heart today, and I pray that you will be obedient to what you hear him calling. Amen. But you know what now kicks off right now? VBS time. All right, go home, try to rest. You're going to need it because we got a great week coming up. It's going to be an exciting week, and so we just pray that you pray for us here. If you're not going to be here, you pray for us here. But if you're working in VBS, just stick up your hand real quick. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you all. But listen, we're doing this for Christ. So remember this week when you get tired and grumpy, don't you yell at your wife. Yeah. Listen, we love you. Go in peace and may the Lord be with you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. Remember, there's a gift for you in the back. Your t-shirts are back.